Said this is WJFF. We are Radio Catskill, and right now we're going to have a special live edition of Bodhi Talk with host Doug Bill, who's joining us on the phone right now. Doug, are you there?
Yes, Jason. Namaste to everyone. And how about if I just do my usual lead-in?
Yes, that'd be great.
Okay, Atra. Namaste, and welcome to Bodhi Talk, where the intention is to inform, inspire, and empower each of us to wake up to who we really are. Not human beings having a spiritual experience, but spiritual beings having a human experience. And so today, Jason, I'd like to just discuss with you the realities of, the pandemic crisis that we're all living through and how we may choose to apply, what I refer to as the Namaste principle, which is basically bringing in a process of attuning to and awakening to that spiritual quality that's within each of us.
All right.
So
yeah. So how do you do that?
Okay, that's the challenge, and I'm finding this to be a very difficult challenge. I have to admit that in my own personal life here, things have become very interesting. Life is full. I think I mentioned the last time we spoke that we have chosen long before the pandemic arose to take on a puppy. And I must admit that I wasn't totally behind the idea of getting a dog at all, and I was thinking, well, okay, an adult dog, but that evolved into a puppy that we picked up at the Newark airport, came in from Puerto Rico, and it has presented a whole different level of, lessons in this classroom. And so this is something that, you know, as I say, the whole process of applying the concept of understanding that we're all spiritual beings in this classroom where everything that happens is presenting the very lessons that we most need to learn. And apparently, one of the lessons I need to attend to is my need to have everything under control and work out in the way that I choose to direct it. Life doesn't always make that a possibility. And rather than blaming external circumstances, people and what have you, for our problems, taking full responsibility for how we respond to what's happening. And that's where it gets tough. Because I could easily say that, well, it was my wife who really wanted this puppy. I didn't want it. And I can make everybody miserable in the process. But I realized before we got the puppy that it would be best if I changed my attitude and put as much love into the process of caring for this puppy as possible. And otherwise, I could say that the chances of this puppy growing up to be a well-managed, obedient, loving member of our family, if I resisted, I could create the very thing I most didn't want. And like I'm talking about a puppy and a relationship with a puppy, but it extends to everyone else in every other situation. And there have been times when, like waking up at 4 a.m. and having to begin this routine of feeding three cats, three dogs, and keeping all of them separate and away from each other's bowls, and it's been very stressful. And it's not always easy. So what I'm drawing upon is the self-care regimen that I always focus on maintaining getting a good night's rest and exercising, and I like to take walks and do yoga postures and spend time in meditation. And a lot of that has been lessened because of the lessons that I have been presented with. So, like I say, I haven't always maintained a balanced perspective. So I'm just pointing out that we're under, all of us are under very extreme circumstances, and we need to be kind to ourselves as well as to each other, and remember that we are essentially spiritual beings. We're all in this together. Even though some may not be playing by the rules that we think are best, and we need to understand that everybody's doing the best they can with what they've been given. But remembering that when it really gets, when push comes to shove and when buttons are getting pushed, it's easy to lose our cool and react out of anger. And the key here is, and this is where, well, I often refer to the wisdom of A Course in Miracles, where it says that anger is never justified, which doesn't suggest that we not get angry, but that we recognize that if we're looking at it, the situation in front of us, if we're coming from a loving perspective and recognizing that, okay, whatever the difficulty is, the stressfulness that I'm experiencing, it's a result of my resistance. And it's something that I am interpreting in such a way that I'm getting angry. So when I interpret it from a loving perspective, recognizing that there's a lesson that I need to learn, I'll be able to respond in a loving way to that person or that situation. And like I say, that hasn't always been happening with me. So I've come to look at this kind of reality as perfect, because that means that what I'm, if I'm having a difficult time, getting angry, reacting in a, well, you could say a less than spiritual, loving way, that means that I'm given an opportunity to look at the stuff that I've got inside my own mind that I need to fine-tune or maybe overhaul so I can find a way of being peaceful no matter what it is that's going on around me. So I'm wondering, Jason, what have you observed in your own situation? I know I was just talking earlier with Dan Rigney as to how the three of you, you, Dan, and Tim Bruno, are just doing an amazing job of keeping this boat afloat, the WJFF boat is. Just the three of you, no volunteers, other than some I know are able to send in some of their shows.
Yeah, but yeah.
Basically, you're, the three of you are running this ball game.
Yeah, well, everybody, I think the question for everyone is, like, how are you doing? Because we're in this unique situation that nobody has ever really seen before. There are some people that are among us who have lived through hardships that are at least comparable in some way in terms of how disruptive they were in our lives. Like, for example, people that lived through World War II or something like that. But it still wasn't this. This is very different. So anyway, you ask everybody, how are they doing? And I think an odd thing that, and something I try to be mindful of, is the fact that I'm in a different situation than most people, that the things that are hard for me are almost the exact opposite of what's hard for some other folks. Some people are struggling with not having enough to do right now, and I'm like working all the time. So I have that different. And then what I have to realize is, like, well, there's a little bit of frustration that comes with that, like, I'm hearing people complain about what I would love right now, which would be to be doing nothing. But I have to try to turn that around and just be aware of the fact that that I've got something that they don't have. that I have an outlet, that I'm able to go somewhere every day, or that I'm able to kind of externalize and focus on doing something for the community. Like I've got a sense of purpose. I got something to do, as busy as I might be. And that's a good thing. And not everybody's got that right now. So I try to focus on that. Yeah.
Yeah. That brings out the relativity of all things, that if we look at our own situation and say, it's terrible, there's nothing for me to do, and for you it's just the opposite, and but to be able to find peace even with that lack of things to do, and it sounds to me like what you're saying, Jason, is that you have found a sense of peace in being able to serve the community and provide the flow of programming on JFF, and that's very satisfying for you, and checking in with other people and being able to sort of bounce off what's going on within them, and there's a sense of purpose, and there's a kind of a flow in what you're doing.
Yeah, and there's just certain little things that I see other people need right now, and I just have to be aware that I don't have those needs. For instance, I've got friends that want me to, I mean, part of this is I'm old school. I'm in radio, and so I don't really understand a world where people are video chatting. But like, I don't even have the curiosity to try to do that. Like, I've got friends that are doing that because they need to stay connected. Whereas, like, I'm talking to people like I'm talking to you right now. Like, I'm talking to people every day, live, and even if it's over the phone. That's what I'm doing. And so that feeds that need. So it's like I don't have that same need that some other folks have. So I feel a little bad in some ways that I'm just like, maybe I'm neglecting my friends because I'm so busy doing this and I don't even have those needs. But, you know, at the same time. So anyway, it's like, yeah, there's some peace there, but it's a matter of just it's perspective. It's like there's some things to be proud of. There's some things to be at peace with. But there's plenty of stuff, too, that just you know, can freak you out if you think about it. I've noticed, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but I'm trying to be aware of how our perception of this situation is changing over time. I feel that there was a lot more, I feel like there was a lot more fear early on, at least on my part. Like, there was much more than I was, like, I still have a legitimate concern being in high risk categories that I might catch this and that would be very bad. But right. I feel like I'm not as generally afraid and uncertain as I was in the beginning, because it was so new. And in some ways, I guess it's part of the getting used to it, even though there's still this uncertainty of we don't know how long it'll last. We don't know what the lasting impacts will be. But I feel that there's just a little less of that fear. Maybe there's different anxieties or angers in different directions, but there's less overall all fear. But that might just be me. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, no, I think that's something we're all experiencing. I mean, there's only so much we can do. Fear is very consuming. It takes so much energy, and we could wear ourselves out. And I often, when I'm working with people who have anxiety disorders, point out the acronyms for fear. Forgetting everything is all right. And that sort of takes on a spiritual component to it. When I remember that there is only so much that I can do. And like you say, in the beginning when this pandemic was starting and there's all these threats, potentially we could die, we could get very sick, that our loved ones may become ill and possibly die. And we see that happening across, well, the whole planet is dealing with that. And we realize that, okay, there's certain things that I'm able to do. I can wear a mask if I'm having to go out into the public. I can do the social distancing. And so there are certain things that I know I do have control over. But beyond that, there is no capacity to control. And this is where, again, I find that a spiritual connectedness, where there's an understanding. We were talking last time, we did this over the radio or over the phone, as to how we're all part of an oceanic oneness. And the ocean itself is what we generally refer to as God, this higher power that is connecting all of us and has a strength and wisdom and a loving presence about it that we can trust to take us exactly where we need to go. And realizing that, well, there's that phrase that's often used in the AA, Alcoholics Anonymous program, let go, let God. And as we realize that, okay, yeah, these are scary times, there's people dying, getting very sick, and I can get so consumed with that that I can hardly function. Or I can, like I say, just follow all the guidelines that were given to be as safe as possible, and then just let go, just to surrender and trust that as long as I've done all that I'm able to do, I can trust this presence to take us where we need to go. And that's something that our culture has sort of lost generally. Religion, for many people, has lost its relevance, and yet there hasn't been any satisfying replacement for the connection with spirit. And this is where practicing, like mindfulness meditation, I was just taking a walk in the woods a few days ago, which for me, it was about getting away from the busyness in the home and all the responsibilities of taking care of these animals and all. And I just found a nice little, it was a mossy, a dry moss covering a rock in the woods, deep in the woods. And I just sat there, and it just filled me with a sense of peace to just look out onto the horizon and just hear the birds and to just take in the fullness of that moment. And this is an exercise that you could do in any number of ways. And basically, it's about getting out into nature, but you can do it even in a quiet room in your house to just take the time to settle in comfortably to a comfortable position and watch your breath and go through what I refer to as the Namaste booster that I offer at the end of each of these Bodhi Talk sessions. And again, that's about deepening that connection with that presence that is connecting all of us. And so, I don't know, I mean, in your talks, Jason, with people, are you finding that there are any people talking about spirituality in any way?
Not specifically, not often, but I think a common refrain when you ask people how they're doing, I think about half the people just, you know, and that's one of the things we ask in the beginning, unless I'm talking to a big somebody who's high up in an official chain of some capacity, then I ask them how their people are doing, you know, like,
right.
You know, how are others doing? But in either case, some folks answer with just like you would if you meet somebody on the way to the store, say, how you doing? Oh, well, you know, doing okay, we're hanging in there. And some people really take a moment to really think about, you know, how are people doing? And, you know, and people are, you know, putting on a brave face with being honest about what they're facing and what people are doing. And I see people taking a lot of solace in that connectivity without calling it that connectivity, because people are thinking about all the good things that everybody else is doing and that people are looking beyond themselves to the wider community and trying to accomplish something. And I hear that from a lot of people from a lot of different walks that people are really taking heart in that.
Yeah. And really that's exactly what I'm getting at here, as to how what it is that connects us. When we begin to feel that sense of a mutual understanding, like we're all going through this process together and we're all struggling, and so there's that understanding that we're all going through this. And then there's the kind of trust that also develops. Like, I'm willing to open up to you from my heart and let you know where I'm at, and I'm very interested in hearing where you're at. And that, to me, is a spiritual experience.
Doug, let me just, you know what, there are some people that I spoke to that were specifically talking about a spiritual reaction and even their own faith, mm-hmm. Especially because we were in the middle of Holy Week. So I spoke to an Orthodox Rabbi Fishbane, and he was reflecting that heading into Passover, which is a family holiday, mm-hmm. and you can't be with your family. What he was emphasizing for people is like, well, this will give us some sense of perspective that when we're past this hardship, that we will enjoy the family more. We will enjoy our time together more. And we spoke to a couple different pastors. I want to share with you, this takes a minute here. This is Father Ed Bader. He's from the St. Peter's Catholic Church in Liberty. And I'll play this. I think you'll be able to hear this over the phone, too. Hold on one moment. I have to turn down the music that's still playing because I was getting ready for where we would need music. Hold on one moment. Now, here we go. This is Father Ed.
Sometimes you have to close your ears and close your eyes from all of the distractions and from all of the noise and yelling, and you find yourself connected to the source of your life. And no matter where, no matter how, no matter who, it's there, and nothing can take it away from us. And that gives me strength. It gives me, you know, as anxious I can be some days, as angry as I can be some days during this time, it's in those. It's in my prayer time. It's in the quiet, in the stillness. It's just strengthening that, you know, that knowing I'm connected to the source of all life. And that's what I could offer to anybody. That's what I would offer to anybody. It's God is there, and it's always there. And these moments hopefully will make us realize in a deeper way, and hopefully that can sustain us.
Oh, there you go. That's Father Ed Bader from St. Peter's in Liberty. What do you think, Doug?
I say, wow. That's precisely what this is all about. And even though, this is a Catholic priest who's presenting this, this is an experience that is available to any and all of us. And this is where I'm hoping that we will be awakening to the reality of this. This is sort of forcing us into stillness. Other than people like you, Jason, there's so much you're going through. And of course, I have to really work at creating that kind of quietude within the busyness of my daily routine. But that's exactly what we're talking about. And, at first there's going to be a lot of noise. And it takes a while to cultivate that skill to listen to your that inner voice. Because the voice in our head, sometimes called the monkey brain, is just going all over the place. But little by little, as we watch whatever comes into our awareness, and then just go to the breath. And it's interesting how the word breath in the many languages has the same meaning as spirit.
Doug, with that, on that note, we've only got about 4 or 5 minutes left. Do you want to transition into the booster, even as you're talking about the breath?
Yes, and I'd like to just set this up as what I had mentioned earlier about a meditation vacation. We're only going to have that 4 minutes or so now, but this is what I would encourage all of you out there, listeners, to just follow this basic format and find a time where you can maybe take a walk into the woods and sit down maybe next to a river or a stream or what have you, and just make yourself comfortable and begin letting go of tension in your physical body. Be aware of how we tend to tighten up certain areas, like our jaws or our shoulders, neck, belly, and just let it go, let it flow out, and let the breath sort of guide the process of moving into that deepening state, listening to that sound of the breath flowing in. It's almost like a soul sound, breathing in, breathing out. It's almost like a hum, which is a universal mantra. So hum, meaning I am that. I'm not this physical body. I'm not all these thoughts and attitudes. I'm not my possessions or roles or relationships. I am that eternal spirit flowing throughout the universe. So hum. Thoughts arise, impressions come to our awareness, sensations. Be aware of that. And then return awareness to the breath. And just allow yourself to be present. Enjoy the wondrous world around you, the beauties. And let your mind just be in this present moment, right here, right now. Future is only imagined. The past is finished. Only now is alive. And in this moment, we can be at peace. And we let go of tension, resistance, fear, and open our heart and mind to the loving presence that is there guiding us. Just watch the breath as if it were an anchor keeping us in this moment. Breathing in and out. Everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. Namaste.
All right, Doug Bill, thank you so much for joining us for this live Bodhi Talk today in the midst of the pandemic.
Oh, thank you, Jason, for the opportunity. And to everyone out there, just hang in there. We're going to get through this. And it's going to be perhaps a much better world when we get to the other side of this. We're all learning how important it is to come together and share in this wonderful life, this very fragile planet. Let's take care of it and take care of each other.
All right. Thank you so much, Doug Bill.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.